Thank you for your grace that's strong in this place. You know, there's a few things I want to share with you this evening. I almost can tell that the Lord is doing something special for a mighty resting of His Spirit upon. And we have been talking about some Spirit-inspired emotions for some days now, or weeks now, and we're going to continue. There's something that came to my mind while we were praying, and I realized that something interesting was happening. Of course, it's a worldwide event. And it happened to be Donald Trump's inauguration as president. And it occurred to me that a couple of months back, he was almost killed. So everyone mutes their microphones on him. And then it turns out that, you know, someone will literally have to put their life on the line to make sure that he is safe. So here's a case where he's almost shot, and someone is willing to use their lives as scapegoats, in quotes, so he would live. Then I heard a couple of minutes back how that he was pulling off US and their contributions to World Health Organizations, because apparently they were paying $500 million. Forgive if I get the figures wrong, but I think it's right, $500 million. And then China, who happens to be a much larger nation, was paying about $39 million. And he pulls out, you know, says he's getting off. Now, I thought about it. Such leadership would have been lost if they lost him. That's impeccable leadership. And that came to my mind while we're praying the last prayer point. You see, you should always pray for your pastor. And prayers lifted for your pastor is for you and for your safety. Now, if he was killed, I don't think somebody would be able to move the nation to making such a very difficult decision. I mean, everybody would just come and smile over it. But he says, no, we're getting out. Because we can't have a nation pay 39 million and another is paying 500, and then the nation is way much larger. Right? So when we gather as a people, we must know who matters here. Don't let anybody, you know, tell you. I would just like to share this with you. Don't let anyone tell you that we are all the same and we all matter. It's not always the case. When it comes to God's salvation plan, we all matter and we are all the same. But when it comes to the grace gifts of ministry, we're not the same. We're not the same. And you are not the same as your pastor. Because God puts him over you. Salvation, we're all the same. The same blood saves us all, humbly. But when it comes to the gift of God to his body, to his church, it's not the same conversation. So we're going to, I just thought to share this. We're going to cherish the leader God has given to us. It means that we're not going to make his work difficult, because we know that it's God's will and it's God's plan for him to lead us into what he wants to do. And that's why protecting the leader is very important. Whoever that would have taken a bullet for Donald Trump, you could say, oh, you know, it's too much to want to take a bullet, it's too much to risk your life to get in there and try to bring him out. But that's the leader. Right? That's the leader. So we must know the leader. And we must protect the vessel. That's another sermon for another day. It's to protect the vessel. It's to keep the vessel. It's to cover the vessel. If the vessel is fine, we all are going to be fine, because we all will be led in the direction we should go. We all will move in the direction we should go. We all will fulfill the ministry that God has committed to our hands. So you honor, you love, you show gratitude, you are present, you are available all the time. You don't slander, you don't join people to malice, you don't make the work difficult. You don't put yourself in the position that you are trying to make the work difficult. And today when I saw it, I was smiling. I was like, that should be some protection on the leader. And see what is bringing into the nation. Believe it or not, if you say you're going to cut visas to USA and all of those things, I mean, that's a strong, good leader. I mean, let's just agree that it does not favor us, because we want to fly, right? I don't want to say you, so it's a bit like I'm saying you are the one saying it, but we want to fly. And say, hey, now we are going to put injunctions on anybody coming to the U.S. We have to do a lot of investigations. Say, but that's a good leader. That's why people don't like good leaders. They don't like good leaders. Yes, they don't like good leaders. Look at when Ghana, 1959, became this. Say, let us colonize you. You didn't even wait small. I believe you had waited 20 years by now. They would have done something for you before you now say, I want to drive my own steer. I want to lead myself. You can lead yourself. That's not to say Ghana's not done anything. We have done. I don't want to be like I'm
hypocritical, but we are doing our best in Jesus' name. Yes. So we would learn to protect. Right? You would learn to protect. You learn to see whom God has given you. You learn to fight for, fight to keep, fight to cover. Right? Yes. Does not mean that Donald Trump doesn't have issues. You can see that he has issues all around. People have brought issues against him. But no matter the issue, he's the one that it looks like he will be able to lead you. You see? So leaders are not issueless. Leaders are not issueless. They have issues. Yes. They have issues. You might not know what the issue is, but they have issues. Yes. Some issues are more heavier than some issues. But that's the leader. Are you listening? That's whom God has chosen. That's the guy. So we know to recognize. And we follow. Believing that God works through men to lead us into his plan and his purpose. So whenever we pray, you should be very excited. Whenever you pray for me, you pray for, I mean, any kind of prayer, you should be excited. Because it takes us a step further into what God wants to do with us. And that's why you should always take some more time praying for me as well. Right? The reasons why the shepherds, the sheep are scattered is because they have no shepherd. There's no shepherd. That's why they're scattered. So once there's the shepherd, there's going to be order. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to move quickly into our teaching for the week on the inward witness. We have come a very long way. If this is your first time, I can assure you, you have to listen to the previous teachings. It will bless you. I tell you, there's just so much in there, and so much in for your life, for the life of your family, the people who mean so much to you. So we took some time paying attention to the inward witness. We saw that the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, searching through the inward parts of the belly. We said that the Holy Spirit in our spirits, joined together with our spirits, is where God leads us from, as touching the inward witness. We're going to have promptings from within. It's going to come from within, not from without. So I also give a counsel that we should be aware of looking for external voices. Somebody says, so when somebody asks you, have you heard or have you been led by God before? Have you heard the voice of God? Have you been led by God before? You should be able to say an emphatic yes. Because there are times where you've had compassion. There are times where you've grieved concerning an issue. There's times where you have perceived something. There are times where you have been compelled, right? Yes, there are times where you felt uneasy about an issue. So it does not have to be something very spooky. You know, when you ask somebody, have you ever heard from God? They say, no. Then they ask you back, you are saying you have heard from God. How does God sound? So I'm demystifying to you, right? God's leading, right, in a very simple way. And that's what we're looking at. So we've been taking some time looking at the inward witness. There is no issue that you will encounter that the inward witness cannot deal with. There is no issue. There is not a time in your life where you seek clarity concerning a matter that you would not receive promptings from the inward witness. And I've told you to always follow the inward witness. There's not a time that you would receive promptings from the inward witness concerning an issue, concerning a matter, concerning a fact exposed, right? You are going to have an inward witness. Maybe not all the times, but that, I'd said, is the primary way that God leads the believer. So somebody will say, Pastor, I'm not too sure whether I should go to Kumasi or I should go to Accra. The inward witness will give you that answer. I've already taught you. Pastor, please, I need to make a decision. I don't know. I don't want to hear you people always say, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. Don't have that on your lips. You always say, I know what to do in Jesus' name because I'm going to be led by the Holy Ghost. So that's the work, right, of the Holy Spirit, is that He leads. Right? Now, put this in your mind. Why do you always hear me say a lead? Why do you always hear men of God say a lead? Let me just help your mind understand what we're saying. Now, when you say someone takes the lead, it means someone takes the front. Right? It means that from a distance, right, you will be able to see the person. So when you say, brother, so-and-so, could you lead the way? It means he takes the lead, he takes the front, right? He goes a few steps ahead of you. And what do? You follow in whatever it is that he is leading you to, right? Yes. So in a lead, you will see that he's going to take, you know, the steps ahead, right? Then you follow. Now, do you realize that not all times, but many times, leads can be silent, right? In that analogy I'm explaining to you. So, could you lead the way? The person does not need to say anything audible. The person just leads, and then you follow, right? So, he throws in the emotions, the Spirit-inspired emotions, and then you can pick up on what he's saying concerning that issue. So, he gives you a lead, right? So, the reasons why it's a lead also is because he exposes to you, thank you, Holy Spirit, for this, he exposes to you what you will experience in the situation. He gives you a foretaste of what you will experience. So if you're going to do something and it's not going to end well, right, then you wake up with this uneasiness in your heart. What happens is that he already gives you a lead experience on what that situation is going to be like. That's why I spoke to somebody. The person was very sad. The person had lost a dear relative, you know. But a few weeks to the losing, she always woke up at a specific time with great sorrow on her heart. She told me this. She says, I always woke up. And she mentioned the time. I always woke up within a time frame on great sorrow on my heart. And she always said, it always occurred to me to pray, but I went back to bed. She told me it was so very much visible. Like, it was so very much tangible. She knew that something was wrong, but she never prayed. What was the Holy Spirit doing? He was giving her a lead on whatever it is she would experience. It's like a foretaste of whatever it is she's going to experience. That's why there are spiritual emotions of joy as well. You see that? When you meet people and there is this joy that leaps in your heart concerning them, that's he giving you a lead concerning whatever it is you're about to experience with them. He will take the lead, and then you follow. When you're going to do something and it will not work, you see that he gives you that experience of, it won't work. He gives you the experience. He takes the lead. He exposes to you what the experience is, and then he gives you a foretaste of whatever it is to come. So, it almost seems like what happens with the Holy Spirit is that you are able to buy his emotions. Have you met people before and you just realize that this person, the person looks good, person looks fine, but you say, I love the person, but there's something about it that I do not understand. He gives you a lead into that, right? So We also said that the inward witness, right, will respond based on the facts that are presented, right? So you need to expose the inward witness to these facts. Now we're going to look at what the inward witness is not. You know, that's why I said that if you miss these teachings, you might end up believing something that I probably am not saying. Right? So, since it is an emotional expression, it's possible to assume that any emotion in the mind is of God. Now, I showed you a spiritual emotion of zeal, right? A spiritual inward witness of zeal, where Jesus gets into the temple and is compelled. You know, he whips everybody. And that's a witness. That's a witness of the Spirit. It responds to what God is doing on the earth. A typical one is compassion, where Jesus Christ was moved with compassion. It's an inward witness. You know, what do you call it? He was moved with agony in the place of prayer, an inward witness. So it's possible to think that any kind of an emotion that comes to you is of God, but that's not true. Some of you have heard me say that, you know, there are situations where I encounter, I have to ascertain whether, right, it's a righteous inclination to what the Spirit of God is leading me into, or it's not. That's why you need to pay attention. So, since it's an emotional expression, it's possible to assume that any kind of an emotion is the mind of God. Imagine if you see a lady and you just lust over her. That cannot be the inward witness, people of God. Don't come and tell me that, Pastor, when I saw her, something in my ventricles, my right ventricle specifically, the one beside the it bit, boom, then I now felt something. No, that cannot be the inward witness. Please, you are you are falling in love. Don't come and say that is the inward, Pastor. I've been praying for 21 days now, and gosh, Pastor, you are even spiritual than me. I'm even afraid. You are more spiritual than I am. You say you love, if you love the person, just say that you love. Don't say that Pastor, the inward witness is witnessing to me to Pastor, that's how I feel whenever I see her. You're getting into the flesh. So they are, you know, reasonings, their emotions, you know, information, senses. Right? And then many of these can be gotten from other sources outside God's word. So it's important for us to know what emotion cannot be the inward witness. Now, let me deal with some very key emotions so that when it comes, you know that it's not the inward witness. It's not the inward witness. Number one, fear. A crucial truth every believer must know is that God does not lead us with fear. The moment you say, I'm afraid, that no, is not the inward witness. It's the word phobos. It means terror. Or, you know, in some cases, timidity. Paul used that for Timothy. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. So, God has not given us the spirit of fear. You say, I'm afraid. I fear. No, you are now swaying off into another kind of a spirit. And I told you the word is
The word spirit actually is pneuma. It means wind. You can't hold it, yet you can feel its essence. I told you that. So when his spirit is manifesting, you can't see it with your eyes, but you can feel, you can see what it's doing, but you can't hold it with your hands. You can't hold it with your hands, but you can see what it's doing in the place. It's like, a lion spirit. You can't catch the spirit. You can't, with your physical hand, you can't say, I've caught the spirit. But the manifestation of a lion spirit is that everything you say will be a lie. Like if he says move left, everybody, let's move right. If he says move right, please, let's move left. If he says bend down, it means please stand up. When he says stand up, it means sit down. He lies literally. Such a person will lie literally on everything. So the same way you cannot see the spirit of fear with your physical eyes, hold it with your physical hands. But there is an influence. I want you to see that. That's what I'm saying, that there. Anytime you are afraid of something, do what you are afraid of doing. You are marked with terror. And for example, you are afraid to start a business because you are afraid that the business will not work. That's not the inward witness. That's the spirit of fear holding you from doing something that you are supposed to do. So when you realize something that you are very afraid, it's like you are marked with terror, you have to do that thing. Yeah. Let me even make you come to this understanding. Whenever you do not do what you are afraid of doing, you subject yourself to the manipulation of an evil spirit, which is fear. So some of you are saying that I'm afraid to see into the realm of the spirit. You don't know that that influence is a spirit and it is fear. And that's why you need to start seeing. Say, I'm afraid to lay my hands on the sick. That's being bound by something that you do not know. So when you see that you are afraid of doing something, I want you to go and do that thing. That's how you overcome fear. It's to do what you are afraid of doing. It's to overcome it. Say, I'm just afraid. I can't stand before anybody and preach. That is the time to say, oh boy, this is a spirit of timidity, a spirit of fear, which God did not give me. So I am going to do what God has said I should do. So you go ahead and do what you are, in quotes, afraid of doing. That's how to overcome whatever it is that's a spirit. So don't say, as for me, I can't really stand in front of people. No, it's time to step out and do what God has told you to do. So he has not given us the spirit of fear. The inward witness is not fear. Are you listening? Some of you are, scared. What I call you, scared cats and scared dogs and scared crocodiles and all of those things. You cannot choose God over something. You're just afraid. And that is because the devil knows that when you put your heart into this God thing, you will amount to something in God and with God. But you will think about it, flip it to what if this thing happens? What if it happens? What if this thing? What if it doesn't happen? What if it doesn't go well? What if it, then you see that fear will crumple you. But not again in Jesus' name. From this day, all your fears, everything that you thought, I'm afraid of going back to school, I'm afraid of doing this course, I'm afraid of studying, I'm afraid it will not turn out well, I'm afraid I'll not have a child, I'm afraid I'll get what? A lot of interest. I'm afraid ministry will, get out of it in Jesus' name. Get out of it in Jesus' name. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. God tells Joshua this a lot of times. Have I not told you? Be strong and be courageous.
Have I not told you? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Some of you, even when you are in the room and they put up the lights, as old as you are, you have an issue with it. As old as you are. Then, no. Hey, please put on the lights. Put on the lights. I'm still here. As old as you are, you can't put up the light and sleep alone in the house. You'll be pacing around. Hey, unless something doesn't fall in the kitchen. That day you won't sleep. That day you will not sleep. Like you, or maybe you are hearing a cricket in the room. It's not sleeping that day. Your eyes will be open like this. Yes. Go out and pick something because it's just at that place you just need 2 minutes walk and back. Your mind is already calculating. I'm not saying do not be cautious. I'm saying that there is a spirit that keeps men in terror. It's not the inward witness. Don't say that the inward witness is the inward witness is leading me to be afraid that this thing will happen. It gets worse when you just see a cockroach fly over the room in the evening. No, that evening you will not sleep. See, I be you never pray at that time, but you are praying. What are you afraid of? You are too afraid. And from today, every source of fear is leading you in the name of Jesus. Yeah, I know the person is listening to me now. I spoke to somebody. The person said, she was so afraid. She says, no, I have to pray long on water and food before I eat the food and water because I don't know what is in the food. Yeah. Got to a point that she couldn't eat very well because she, that's what fear will do. But you are breaking out of it. You say, hey. Even some of us, when we get food, we have to remind ourselves that, hey, be careful. Stretch forth your hands. Plus God minus Satan. Before even the plus God minus Satan ends, the food is even going into your mouth. And many of you forget to pray. Many of you listening to me, you forget to. But from today, pray small. Like in Jesus' name, the food is sanctified. The food is this. Amen. Yes. Yeah. Do not be afraid of anything. And stop watching the things that you watch. You are watching cesarean operation documentary. You've watched it. See how they do it, how they cut, how they do it. And then you walk with that mind that you are one day going to have a cesarean. Why won't it come to pass? You watch a lot of things. Somebody shares a story with me. And then a lady, the person is listening, I'm sure, said that they fixed the fan and the fan removed. Yeah, the fan removed. So the fan is dead. Since then, she says she has not fixed fan again. She will not allow fan to be fixed in her presence again. Yes, she doesn't change. She's not going to fix fan. The heat should hit her. She should be fine. She will not fix fine. God will take care of you. Are you listening? So the inward witness is not fear. Don't say, Pastor, I have an inward witness and I'm afraid that I might not live past this age. That's not true. That's the spirit of fear. Because that's not what God says about your life. And fear is that demon. You see, if your house has been robbed before, your house will not be robbed in Jesus' name. But there's always like somebody who is lanky, slim, who can, you know, quell their way into the windows that they allow in. There's always that person. You just don't know. You might not know if they've entered and they opened before, except by teleporting means. There's always somebody who can quell in a very, you know, interesting way, so that it gets in, then it opens the door for the other giant men to come in. Fear is that small boy that gets in first. He gets in first. Yeah. So once he gets you, every other
thing that they want to happen will happen. So never be afraid. So the inward witness is not the spirit of fear. It's not the spirit of terror. It's not the spirit of timidity. You see, sometimes, don't allow anybody to make you timid. Let me tell you something. I was very timid. Yes. Yes. I could talk with my friends, like people I know, but when I get into, I lose something. As well, if it's my friend I know, I can talk to you, I can flow with you, I can do. But if I get into, I sort of like, you know, become suddenly timid and suddenly somewhere. Yeah. So do not be timid. Be bold. When you go to preach the gospel, be bold. Never be intimidated by anyone and what anybody else is saying and what anybody else is saying to you and what anybody else is doing to. They said, I'm like this. I'm like this. Only you. You are like this and like that. Be bold. Are you listening? Yes. The inward witness is not fear. In 1 John 4:18, he says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. Do you know what it means to torment? Yes. It's a tormenting spirit. Yeah. Some people are afraid of some interesting fear of spiders, fear of heights, fear of drinking milk, fear of eating butter, fear of, because they don't want to maybe gain weight or something, I don't know, fear of darkness, fear of frogs, fear of scorpions, fear of snakes, fear of ants, fear of this, fear of water, fear of this. Oh! I remember I was making tea some time ago. Some ants were just in the sugar. I said, you don't know me. I will drink you, man. You'll find your way and go. They're not afraid of you. Yeah, I see ants in my food. I don't remove it. I just stare. Maybe they are. Who can? I'll give the person a gift. The vitamin in ants. Don't Google. Let's all be fruitful people. Vitamin in ants. Oh, you've forgotten. In JHS, there's a vitamin that is in ants. You all are guessing. So I don't believe. No, give me the scientific name. Vitamin what? Vitamin Q. So you see that I said, I don't mean I'll drink you. Yeah, you think, oh, just remove the ants, remove the ants. I will drink you if you don't go away. You are in my tea. You don't respect, you are in my tea. Yes. Highly proteinous. Just telling you that you should not be afraid of small things. You are going to be very bold and you are not going to be afraid of anything. Nobody is going to put fear into you. When people tell you that nobody has done this before, you are going to write an exam, it's not this, it's difficult, you can't pass, you can't excel. It's hard to get into that company. You need protocol. You need to just say, hey. No fear here. No fear here. Again, a caution I would want to give, an instruction, that don't let the devil lie to you. You know, about the fact that you pray every day, then you make it seem like it's too much to do. I told you that it's one of the deceptions of the devil, is to make you feel like the prayer sessions we have here
or whatever prayer session you have personally is a waste. No, that's not true. That's not true at all. So we are going to come to that place of understanding that prayer is supposed to be a daily routine, just as you bath, and just as you brush your teeth, and just as you go to work, just as you do everything on a daily basis. Prayer is supposed to be daily, right? So that the enemy does not make you feel like committing 1 hour or 2 hours to prayer is too much. It's not too much. It's not too much at all. It's not too much at all. In fact, my dream, of which we are building up into, is to have this happen 4 hours on every major watch. We pray an hour. And then we're gradually building up to praying every hour. That's my dream, is to have a 24-hour, consistent, continuous, uninterrupted prayer session going on. It's my dream. It's something that I believe we're working towards. That one, when you close from work, you come in and pray. You go to work, you call in, you pray. You are 4 a.m., you wake up in the middle, you pray. 5 a.m., you're just praying. Yes, and other people will be praying, handing over the chain to others, and they'll be praying like that. They'll just be praying. And, you know, you have no idea what this introduces to God's plan on the earth. It's so tremendous, because I have any criticism against any church. Of course I don't. But, you know, the church seems to be substituting God's method for other methods, and that is wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. You can't use entertainment, you can't use sporting, you can't use decorations, you can't use fanciful environments with stage lights, you know. You can't use all of those to substitute, or you can't substitute all of those with God. You can't put it in its place. Does not do well. Does not do well. And the Church of Christ will be builded and founded on God's methods. Now, the building and founding of a church on God's methods is what prolongs her stay, what prolongs her impact. Imagine you using leggings to preach to somebody who has been held captive of smoking for 16 years. You can't use dance leggings. I mean, let's be serious. Let's be serious. Tell your friend that let's be serious. Yeah? You can't use opumolero and choreography. No, it takes the real power of the Holy Spirit to cause lives to be transformed. Yes, it takes the power of the Holy Spirit. It takes the power of prayer. It takes the power of the true gospel. You know, and sometimes when the true gospel is preached, you know, people like Paul, in Paul's era, you know, they will ask him, are you trying to tell us that we should go ahead and sin? No, that's not. I remember someone told me some time ago that somebody told him that you people, your teacher teaches this. You know, and I had already taught him. So he said, no, I was very bold enough to tell the fellow, my teacher does not teach this. My teacher does not teach this. Right? So, there is a method that God has given to us as his ministry, as his body on earth. The moment we substitute that method for something else, does not work. Right? Doesn't work. You know, David exemplifies this so well when he was going to fight, you know, Goliath after, you know, all the blabbing and the blasphemy, you know, that Goliath throws to the God of Israel. So he suddenly, you know, moves into the house of Saul, and he's going to fight a battle that Saul himself was afraid to fight. Now, what did Saul do? He says, you know what, David? I have some instruments and equipments that can shield you on the chest, and such that when Goliath throws a blow at you, it will not penetrate, not even to the slightest feeling. You won't feel it. Right? I have some helmet that when you put it on, you are going to be heavily guarded. No bag of wire, no stone, no arrow, no bullet can penetrate it. In fact, it was molded by the finest, craftsman. And the boots I'll give to you, it can make you suspend on the air. So he called David home and said, David, you know, put this on. Right? David said, no. He put it on. He says, no, I'm not used to this method. There is God's method. There's how God wants to do what he wants to do. That's not because he wants to do it, so you do it anyhow to achieve what he wants to do. He will disapprove it. He's God. He doesn't need you to introduce your methods to him. So David rejects, you know, the army wear of Saul. And behold, he goes in the name of the Lord, a sling and a stone. Prayer and continuous prayer. Fasting and fasting. There's no other way. There's no other way. Christ family, there's no other way. If we would use another, let's go and sleep. It will not yield anything eternally. You just be using it here on earth to just enjoy yourself. It's not, God does not recognize it. There's no other way. There's no other way except discipleship. There's no other way. And that's why the church is so lazy. They don't want to pray. Say that, just give us direction. Your face like direction. Just give us direction. Just sharp, sharp. That's why people like to pay money to go and see some person somewhere. Or they want to, you know, you say, let's pray, let's believe God. You say, no. Let's. It's too much. It's too much. If God would have answered, he would have answered a long time ago. Let's pass somewhere. No, that's God's method. Are you listening? So, I'm just sharing this shortly with you before we get into our teaching. Make sure your heart is stuck at what we are doing. There's no other way. You see how we've been praying? We've been praying like this for maybe 2 or 3 years. if I'm right. But it should be more than 1 year. Into 2 or 2 into 3 years. Nobody has stopped praying. We are like this, the same prayer. On it, different, you know, interspersed differently, but the same thing. And we are, because there's no other way. There's no other way except for prayer. There's no other way except for fasting. There's no other way except for discipleship. That's God's method. We have to stick to it. Yes. There's no other way apart from the honor God has given to us. There's no other way. So, you want to make sure that you stick to God's method. How did I get here? Anyway, the inward witness. So we had conversations on the inward witness. And um, I don't need to give a recap, I should believe. So we're just going to move in into what the inward witness is not. Right? I said yesterday that since the inward witness is a spiritual emotion or an expression, it is possible to assume that any kind of an emotion expressed in the mind is of God. But I said it is not so. Throwing more light on the fact that the inward witness cannot be fear. Right? So the inward witness cannot be fear. You can't say that I'm afraid this will happen. You say, wait, why are you having that fear for? You say, the Spirit of God is telling me that I'm afraid that this thing is going to happen. No. You are bound by the spirit of fear. That is what it is. Right? Don't say, Pastor, I just woke up today with some kind of fear and I think the Spirit of God is. No. He has other alternatives to communicate whatever it is he wants to communicate with you. He doesn't have to use something that is not within his territory. He has many. He has many. I showed you the spirit-inspired emotions. We didn't see fear there, did we? So the inward witness is not fear. I'm afraid this will happen. I'm afraid my life is not going to turn out well. The Spirit of God is telling me that I'm afraid. The Spirit of God is telling you that you are afraid it will not happen. That's what the Spirit of God is telling you. No, it can't be the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God is not. The inward witness has no relation to fear. It's not a fear. I'm afraid the business will not work. I told you, anytime you are afraid, often there's something in there for you. Yeah, there's something in there that God is brooding for you. And the enemy, knowing that, wants to stop you. So he throws in those, what do you call it, thoughts of fear, and then you are afraid. Right? It's godly fear. So the inward witness can never be expressed through fear, through terror, through timidity. That's why anytime you have a vision, you have a dream that leaves you in fear, chances are that that vision or dream is not from God. It's very high. Now, when I say fear, I'm talking about, you know, something that throws you in terror. You know, and the people who are thrown into terror, they are afraid, you know. They are afraid. But that cannot be the Spirit of God. So beware when you are afraid. You are afraid. You know, and to some people, that's their normal language. I'm afraid. I'm afraid. You are threatened. Some of us, our fear is the fear of man. Even when we are going to preach the gospel, we are looking into people's faces, whether they will want to. No, you just go and preach. That's what you have been sent to do. Don't be afraid. In Hebrews 12:28, it tells us how that, wherefore, we receiving the kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace. We hereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Godly fear. It's a reverential fear. Now, that's some good fear to have. I'm trying to just throw more light on the kind of fear, because reverential fear to God is good fear to have. It's not fear of torment, you know, fear of a certain dreadful act or event, fear of harm. No, it's fear that's reverential to God. Number two, let me tell you what the inward witness also is not, so that you don't get confused and at the point in time say, Pastor, I've been feeling an inward witness of. No. So, number two, the inward witness is not condemnation or a feeling of unworthiness. The inward witness is not condemnation or a feeling of unworthiness. You know, sometimes there are people who feel condemned. They did something wrong and they feel condemned by the wrong that they did. Say, God, how could I? I can feel the inward witness condemning me. God, I shouldn't have gone. No, that's condemnation. You're condemning yourself. The inward witness is not condemnation. Now, I know this too well, because you've heard me say this in different forms or different folds. Sometimes as a leader, you'll find the devil trying to... Now, I'll come back to condemnation in the context of, you know, the gospel and salvation and all. But sometimes the devil likes to, you know, chastise, sort of like accuse you. Yes, you'll be shocked how many accusations I've had from the devil on letting you pray 2 times a day. And finally saying you want to increase it to 4 times a day and then to 24 hours a day. You'll be shocked. You'll be here saying that. He'll be telling me that, hey, you are making them pray too much. They need to have something to do. That's silly. Who told you we're not doing anything? Yeah, so he will be accusing you. You're letting the people pray. You know, maybe you have a family business and your family business is trying to say no to ministry. And I'm saying, hey, ministry or ministry is this or this. See, that he'll come to me in the evening and say, you, look at what you are doing. Eh? Look at what you are doing. You are letting a small girl's future just go before her eyes. Look at what you are doing. It's a business, a good business. You are saying that she should not, what? So you'll be seeing that he'll be accusing you. Yes? Trying to condemn the things that you do. Now tell him that, hey, I know you too well. I know you too well. So why don't you just allow the person just marry? Because after all, why don't you just allow? Is that you're trying to stop a revolution or accusations? So you need to know what God is and what He's not. What he's not. But you need to be able to shine the word of God on the situation. And you see that, this one is not of the Spirit of God. It's of natural desires. Then you can tell them, okay, no, this is not of God. Why don't you just say yes so that they can fly outside the country? Just say yes. You are trying to block someone's shine. Yes. Trying to stop people from excelling in life. See, but that's what you always tell. You're trying to stop people from excelling in life. You're trying to stop them. what's wrong with you? But you must know what God is saying in His Word. Then you now begin to digest it. So some of you, the devil is starting to condemn you that you are all about this thing, you are all about. You say, the inward witness is condemning me. No. The inward witness cannot be condemnation. And it is also not a feeling of unworthiness. When you feel like you don't match up to what God has said He will use you for, you feel like you don't deserve the love of God. You say the inward witness. No, the inward that doesn't do it. The inward witness rather affirms God's love for you. It affirms God's love for you. It affirms God's presence with you. It affirms God's spirit with you. Not making you feel unworthy and not matching up and not meeting up the standard and not doing what God is not the inward witness. So, don't ever wake up having emotions, because that's why I told you they're spirit-inspired emotions, and they're also emotions that are not spirit-inspired emotions. Feeling condemned or feeling unworthy, it is not God. It's not God. I can tell you for free, it's not God. And He talks to everybody. Hey, if you don't know Him, you subtly start to buy in. It's not Suddenly, you start to buy into it. Yes, you start to buy into it. So from today, begin to know that the inward witness does not condemn you. On any other day, it doesn't. In John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. He who does not believe in the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abides on him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, John 5:24. I say to you, he that heareth my word and believeth on them, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall come into no condemnation. But the fellow has passed from death to life. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Do not follow condemnations. Feeling of unworthiness. Feeling of unworthiness. Don't follow, don't listen to whatever it is that is making you feel condemned. It's like you failed too much, you can't rise up again. You see, Pastor, the last time you taught on the inward inside, the inward witness is witnessing to me that I'm unworthy. No. We all are unworthy, but God decides to do whatever it is He wants to do with us. I am very sincere, and I ask God, if you like, when you're asking me to tell you, I ask God. Yeah. Sometimes I even laugh. I laugh. If I were choosing, I will not choose me. I'm telling you, I will not choose me. Because I don't see why you choose me, and I don't see what I have. Yeah. So when something happens, I tell God that, hey, the person you chose,
is the person that is here. Yes. I wouldn't have chosen me. So, why not? Chosen maybe somebody who is more experienced, somebody who is more this, somebody who is more knowledgeable, somebody who is more, but he didn't choose any of those. So don't feel unworthy on any occasion. God can use the most ordinary person. You don't need anything. He's God. That's why he's God. The most ordinary, God can use them. So when you look at yourself and you are very ordinary, I want you to start thanking God, because that's a curriculum for which he would use you. It's like a what do you call it? A requirement for being used, to be ordinary. It's to have something you don't really know how to, you don't really understand. You are very feeble, you don't have anything, you are just there. People say, oh, as for you, you don't have anything. You yourself, you know you don't even have anything. You can't really talk like that. You are not very fluent. You can't really say anything. You are just hidden. You don't know what to say. You don't know how to say what you are. You can't even stand in front of people. You can't. That's what he needs. That's all he needs. That's all he needs. So rejoice, eh? Yes. So tonight our teaching is very short. The inward witness cannot be condemnation or a feeling of unworthiness. So yeah, starter. That's what God even likes. I've fornicated before. He likes it. First, I was a very bad sister. That's what he likes. He loves it. So when he starts to use you, you don't stand and say that, oh, I was a very dedicated so-and-so, and he loves it. Yes. So he loves you just as you are, never making you feel unworthy and never making you feel condemned because of sin. The way you are, when you come to him, he is able to work on you, and then he finally works through you. So do not be afraid when you are flawed in a certain way. Do not be afraid. I'm telling you, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Hey, let me tell you something. I know myself. I'm telling you. Changes in my personal life. Yeah, I can see the changes. Yeah. And I'm somebody that had few friends. Few. Maybe one or two or something. Yeah. Apart from that, nobody even knows that I can have meaningful conversations or talk. Anybody that knew me from afar saw me as a very quiet person. I barely, unless you know me very well, that you know that I can talk to you. If you don't know, I don't say anything. Yeah. Yeah. It will take staying with me to know that I don't really talk so much. But he's the one God wants to use. It's true. So when you find a physical sort of weakness, that makes you the person that's not eligible. Never be condemned, eh? Say, God will use it. He knows how to use it. Present it to Him. He knows how to use whatever it is you are. He is not afraid of God. He can work with both. He can work with both completely.
Definitely work. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Lord, that they are getting to identify that the inwardness is not a void condemnation or a feeling of condemnation or a feeling of a sense of unworthiness. Thank you for clarity in this very area. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for this evening. Shave stola pratis. Sizeve stola brandos. Kivatal brashteve suso protos bragastize. Prozezive clampro stola bade. Sizeve kipo pora tasta. Si veveria stovo givele chi stamba ambostolo grostovo su sova fivese si sala protuste chi geseste telemengo stovra nanta stele vuele stiste prototusto vive chista tolma masta giva vivo sto pronomo non bombo stutu puputupa pega teke titi kipo topa paritaba steve vive steve vive stovro sopra ti Fuvalahi, steklambro toto la mambra teke tele stisto topo popo kutu pati kipa taka tato tuka taka tipa taka tosto brakatea. Tozo veve vivo sota pali, sheve vivo sombro mboko tusto mbropo to. Why do you doubt? Why do you doubt? Why do you doubt my word that is true? No. Put away doubts. Put away doubts. For doubts in your heart will make my word unfruitful in your path. Put away doubts. Thoughts that drop in doubts. You don't need answers on the hows. You leave that to me, and I'll make that happen. Only wholly trusting in my word. Leave that to me. You don't need answers. You don't need explanations of how. You don't need to understand how. Through the use of logical means, you'll only simply trust me as I walk with you. And so you will put away doubts. Questions, lots of questions. For in many questions, you put a dent on my integrity. You would learn to trust. Trust me in all things. Trust me for all things. Trust me through all things. For yeah, it's already said, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, Whosoever shall say to this mountain, whosoever shall say, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that the things that he saith, he shall have them. You'll have the things that you say. No, it's not praying. No, don't think about prayer. No, it's the things that you say. The things that you say even when you're not in prayer. The things that you say casually. The things that you say to yourself. The things that you meditatively say are the things you will have. And in your sayings, mountains are going to be moved. And that which you ask, you receive. Put away doubts. Deal with doubts. Stop doubts. Speak faith. Walk in faith. Move in faith. For this is my will for you. Yeah. There's a question of the heart. How do I just get into faith? Oh. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word, reading by the word, listening by the word, meditating on the word, and faith will come. So more faith means more time spent in the word. That's how you get faith. Not presumption, not assumptions, not drawing logical conclusions, but on the word of God. This is how faith comes. It comes by hearing, it comes by listening, it comes by meditating, it comes by speaking on the word. And as you do this, you will have all your needs, all your bills, all things that you deem fit coming to you. And now you listen to me. Every season of your life, I'll have you moving much more in faith than I'll have you moving in doubt. For I am always glorified when I see my children move in faith, knowing that I'll show up. And I always show up. I always do. Faith. Forget not, it's written. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11 says, so you will endeavor to walk in faith. Glory to God. Glory to God. Just go ahead and bless God. Just go ahead and bless God in this place. Father, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead and bless God. Somebody should drop Hebrews 11, 6 for me. It's going to help with. Just realize we have no trans in relation. Remember what the Lord told us? He will have us move a lot of the times in faith, and he will have us move in doubt. He says he prefers it 10,000 times more, right? To move in faith than to move in doubt. Okay. But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe he is, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we're going to trusting God. Just trusting God. And believing God rather than moving doubt. Father, thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So we'll quickly move on to what the inward witness is not. I took some time paying attention to the fact that the inward witness was not fear. We also took some time paying attention that the inward witness is not condemnation or a feeling of unworthiness. We're going to take some time just looking at this. I believe it was very spirit-inspired in the fact that the inward witness is not doubt. It's not doubt. Neither is it anxiety. Neither is it unbelief. Right? So that's what we're going to be looking at today. The inward witness is not doubt. Neither is it anxiety and unbelief. You know, I can almost sense Jesus' emotion when, you know, Peter started to walk on water and then there was, you know, that boisterous wind and he took his eyes off Jesus and suddenly he began to sink and the Lord said, why did you doubt? Because you were already walking on water. But suddenly you saw that the wind became boisterous and then you just took your eyes off Jesus. You know, some of you will need to put your eyes on Jesus. You will have to commit your life to him. Commit your heart to him. Right? Commit your faith. Put your faith in him. Put your faith in him. Put your faith in him. We have not followed cunningly devised fables. You see, Jesus is real. Jesus is real. We're not believing some folktale is real. Don't doubt what he has for you. I'm telling you. He speaks about the prophet before you were born, formed in your mother's womb. I knew you. I'd called you. I'd ordained you. A prophet. It says the plans that I have for you are plans of good, not of evil. Plans to lead you to an expected end, said the Lord. His plans of you for you are not evil. And his name, his plans for you are not evil. So you will learn to trust the Lord for everything. Are you listening? So the inward witness is not doubt. You know, sometimes we can have people saying that. Pastor, I've been praying and there's this doubt, you know, somewhere. I'm not really sure if I think it's God that's speaking to me. Now, there's a language of God and it could be discerned. Let me say, there's a discernible instance. Whenever you are not clear about something, it means that you have not heard God yet. So what that means is that you have to be patient and then seek for more clarity, maybe via the inward witness or any other means. The voice of God dispels doubt. Yeah, dispels doubt. Whenever it's not too clear, it means you're not really sure about whatever it is, you know, that's happening. So you see that there's somebody who might be harboring anxiety, who might be harboring doubt, who might be harboring unbelief. And then you see that they are trying to attribute that to the inward witness. The inward witness does not inspire unbelief. Yeah? Does not inspire unbelief. You see, our whole Christian walk is spelled one, belief. No wonder we are called believers. Because there's just something that the natural man cannot see that we say exists.
It's not real to the natural man. How do you know there's God? How do you know there's angels? How do you know there's the supernatural or the spiritual world? How do you know that there was Jesus? Did you see him? Did you experience him? They are saying that the cross... the cross is not even real. Jesus never even existed. When you go to the Islamic, you know, religions, they tell you Jesus was just a normal man. He didn't die. It was presumed that he died, but he didn't really die the way Christian says he died. So our whole foundational belief is on faith. It's faith. It's spelled F-A-I-T-H, faith. Substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of the things unseen. You can't see them, but you just believe that there is God. There's an existence of God. So, you get to realize that. Oh, let me not veil, but I think I should just flow with what I have. You know, also. Because I feel the Spirit of God is moving in a direction, and I'm trying to bring him to inward witness. Alright? So, yes, so the inward witness is what? Not doubt, right? It's not anxiety. It's not unbelief. The believer's spirit is the spirit of faith. The believer's spirit is the spirit of faith. That's why in Philippians 4, verse 6, you know, Paul is writing to the church in Philippi. Philippi was quite a jolly, joyful church, you know, with quite some, you know, they had a lot of joy in the church in Philippi. Yet still, they had a few issues, one or two here and there. Paul says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be careful for nothing. Some other ranges instances, be anxious for nothing. Don't be an anxious being. So the believer spirit is the spirit of faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it was written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. The believer's spirit is a spirit of faith. I believe, and therefore I've spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. So, it means that from yesterday I told us that fear, timidity, torment, terror cannot be from the inward witness. So, whenever you are afraid, I'm afraid my father will die. Don't say that it's the inward witness. No. Is the spirit of fear trying to introduce? I told you that the spirit of fear is that small guy that jumps into the house and opens the window for all other spirits to come in. Do you know that before somebody actually dies, many times they are engulfed with the spirit of fear? Yes, many times you see that it literally opens up. That's why they start to talk doubt. Right, start to talk doubt, then fear is also lurking there. I'm afraid I'll do it. I'm afraid this will happen. I'm afraid this will happen. I'm afraid this will happen. Then you see that because there's a spirit of fear, it opens the door for other spirits to come in. And then there's trouble. So we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe and therefore I've spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak. Doubt, anxiety, unbelief cannot emanate from our spirits. And you know something? Sometimes we choose to doubt God, and we choose to believe some information, you know, from external sources other than the written word, because doubt comes when we start to put the facts together. Hey, let's check. How many years do people live when they get that condition? Oh, let's check. What does that condition do? Oh, let's find out. They said school fees has not been paid, oh, and they are going to sack. Okay, they said there's no money. So where is money going to come? You see, it rises as a result of trying to find out what to do in a situation. You gather from external sources. You're trying to put yourself together just so it makes a lot of sense. But that's not the inward witness. So whenever you doubt God, you are anxious about something, you are in unbelief. You know, there's some people who, they had one dream, eh? The dream has followed them and followed them and followed them. I think you are the only one who has had a dream who that was very scary. But you see them living in the reality of that dream. Meanwhile, they've had good dreams. They've forgotten those ones. Had good dreams. But they forget that one too easily. The one that was some way is the one they always remember. So they live in anxiety. It's not the spirit of God. You know the physiological signs of being anxious? It's like lack of sleep. When you can't sleep, you're anxious. Your heart beats faster. So there are palpitative signs, anxiety. See, sometimes it could come with a bit of, you know, shaking, anxiety. So all of these physical signs are signs that you are anxious. You know, see your parasympathetic system just shooting up. You are just active, afraid that something is going to happen. But not after today, and not after these teachings. You're going to be full of peace. So the inward witness is not doubt. See, people of God, there is no other way. You know, I kept on telling myself, Pascal, the more you take the word of God seriously, the better for you. Because there's no way, if you consider it very, there's no way. If the word of God says, do not be anxious about anything, be careful about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Then what happens? The peace of God will garrison your heart, you know, will keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Then something happens. Then you are worrying. Which other way is there? There's literally no way. You know, sometimes we just need to be true to ourselves and just leave ourselves to the mercy of God's word and watch what a champion our lives are going to become. What a champion our lives are going to become. In Isaiah 53, verse 4 to 6, tells us how that, you know, he was bruised for iniquity, you know. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. By his stripes we were healed. Second Peter confirms the same information, telling us how that we were healed by his stripes. You know, in Psalm 107, makes us understand how that God sent forth his word and he healed their diseases. Exodus 25:23 repeats the same thing on how that, you know, God heals and continually will heal them if they give themselves up to him. And you see, all of these truths are splattered throughout 40. Mark 1:40 says the same thing on how that Jesus willed that the leprous man would be healed. You know, so when it comes to healing, you don't expect to hear God again concerning that matter. So the more let me say, the earlier you believe the word of God and start working with out, you start working the word of God out, the better it will be. You will see your life take a different turn. You leave yourself to the mercy of the word. And you begin to practice the word. Because there's no other place. There's no other place. You're going to see Sangoma. Or what do you call it? Juju. Sangoma is how the South Africans call it. Juju is how we call it. Or what's Malam? They don't all have who they just... They just worsen the complication, or they cover it on one side and it appears on the other side. So the earlier you believe God's word, the better for you. Yeah? And the better for all of us. So the inward witness is not doubt. Do not accept things that put doubt in your heart. You have to be very watchful. Things that you hear, things that you see, things that you harbor in your heart, emotions of anxiety, emotions of doubt, emotions of unbelief. The worst thing you can do as a Christian is to stay around somebody who is full of unbelief. It rubs off on you like you never imagined. But God, via His word, is blessing us, and our faith is increasing, gets better by the day. So the inward witness is not doubt, it's not anxiety, it's not unbelief. When you disbelieve something, it's not the inward. Don't say that, I've prayed and I disbelieve. I prayed, but I'm anxious. The Spirit of God is telling me to be. No. So be careful. Now, know how to differentiate grief, right, and restlessness from the inward witness, from anxiety. Hey, God, help me. Hey, this one's, you're not safe at all. The devil will just be whipping you like pew. Just whips you up and down. I had an experience. You think you're the only one that... You see, the devil knows this about him. He's going to show up his head at a point in time. I'll be too juvenile to think the devil is not against me. I must still be a very 4-year-old child. When Bible says you will build the church and the gates of hell shall not prevail, it means there's a battle against the gates of hell. I'll be too whatever to think that everybody likes me and everybody likes what I'm doing. That's quite when I was younger, but now I don't think so. I don't think so. Because if the devil is going to be working, he's going to be working through men. If he's going to be working through men, he's going to be working through other people. So when I see a vision of somebody trying to hurt me or trying to do something to me, shouldn't wake me up in shock. I'm already aware. When I have an experience of someone trying to do anything to me, it's not shocking. We are aware. It's not like we are not aware that the devil is existing. We are very much aware. But one of the things we know is that we are sure about God's word for our lives. We're aware. I remember a time I got up from a dream, interesting dream. And in the dream, I'd hurt a part of myself so badly. I was trying to just see what was happening at that area. So something happened to me, occurred to me, that I should just remove wherever it is that there was a lining on the head. And I removed the lining, and there was a new skin in that area. And in the dream, I shouted, I said, God is a miracle working God. So what was supposed to hurt you, what was supposed to destroy you, what was supposed to become a pain, he turned it out for something good. And that is the reality of the believer. Now, even if I had not seen it in that way, I bet you I would have still believed God. Let nothing cause you to have unbelief in the power of God. You prayed for someone, the person wasn't healed. Move to the next person and pray again. Do not doubt the power of God. Say, fake miracles. The body of Christ, fake miracles. It's because they are real miracles. That's why they are fake miracles. If there were no real, there wouldn't be fake miracles. It's because they are real miracles. So let's take our attention off the fake miracles. Let's put it on real miracles. Real healings, real power of God, the real flow. And our prophet take people numbers, prophet people, prophesy people, know them, know one or two things. No, let's put away that. Let's focus on something that's real. Not met you before, I can flow. That's real. That's real. Don't let anybody put doubt in your heart. Don't let anybody put doubt in your heart. Yes, they will be fixed, but we are saying that there is a real. So let's not focus on the fix. Let's focus on the real. The power of God is real. So all the people are just falling. They are pushing them down. They are doing the pay people to fall down. You've not experienced the power of God. Yeah. When He knocks down on a place, it's real. You know that there's God here. And there are things like that. There are instances like that. You can know God is here. Nowadays, not every man of God is very genuine. Is your man of God fake? You're sniffing around for something that you are not supposed to be sniffing around for. The man of God God has given to you, is he fake? That should be your concern. That should be your concern, not what some other man of God is doing. And now every man of God is into the ministry for money, and the men of God are into the ministry for just money. Or is your man of God into the ministry for money? That should be your concern. That should be your concern. That should be something that concerns you. So it doesn't put unbelief on the inside of you. So nowadays, when we talk of spiritual father, pastor, it's not like that though. It's not everybody should be free. Everybody, as your man of, is your man of God, is your man of God teaching you that? Is your man of God trying to whatever? So you see, there are many reasons why you will have wrong things, unbelief, and you will try to buy your way into it. But the inward witness is not unbelief. It's not an unbelief. It's not unbelief to everything God's word says. It's not unbelief to anything that God's word says. Don't doubt God's word. Don't be anxious when you have God's word. Stick to God's word. That's what you have to do. That's what you have to do.
One time I went to church and this church they didn't treat me well. I believe these churches that have now come, they are all about just themselves. Maybe a new person. Is that how it is? You should advise yourself for somebody. Yeah. So beware of doubt. Are you listening? Anything that throws in doubt, that communicates doubt around you, right? That makes your heart to doubt, be careful of it. You know, there was this lady whom I'd been told that they were getting it difficult to get her filled in the Holy Ghost because she just, some way, somehow, wouldn't speak in tongues. And I said, oh, that one is also very easy for me, getting people filled in tongues. Very easy. A lot of things will start becoming easy for you in Jesus' name. Yes, a lot of things, they will start becoming easy for you. Yeah. You now say, I don't know which one is easy because all now looks easy. It's like it's becoming more easier. Yeah, so I saw the girl, they said, oh, we are trying to. I said, okay. I said, let me just spend some time talking to her. And I caught doubt, I shipped it on it, I caught doubt, I shipped it. Because normally it's unbelief. When you see someone not flowing with the Spirit, it's because the enemy is telling them one or two things. So I caught it on this, I shipped it. And I realized that, it's like, I've not shipped this, I caught on this, I have shipped it. Then you know what I told her. The last one, I just wanted to give her like fatality. So that she can now get into the moment and then take what rightly belongs to her. Then I told her that you started school in plus one, right? Or you started school when you were small. Let's say you started nursery, KG. I said, when was the last time you had 100%? She said, honestly, she has not seen 100% in a while. She didn't say it like that, but she was trying to tell her, honestly. I said, since P something something, you've not seen 100%, isn't it? I said, even P3 cry, if you're not careful, she has not seen 100%. That's what Jay just said, you've not seen cry. Let's all be honest with ourselves. As for SS, you were even maybe begging to get 65, 50, and just pass the paper, 50%. You just wanted to pass, so they don't call your name as part of the list of the people. University, that's what I'm putting there. 100. So I told her, I said, you see why you shouldn't trust your brain, eh? I mean, I think saying that just knocked out unbelief. I just said, you see why you shouldn't trust your brain? Because your brain is not even able to score 100%. He's like, you don't know everything. When you try to in your paper, you don't score 100%. So you shouldn't trust your brain. Don't trust this your brain, eh? I'm telling you, you'll be shocked of the many things it does not know, but it is still proud to say that I know this, I'm sure about. You don't know it. You don't know. Even your test, they give you over 10, you score like 2 or 3 or something. You shouldn't trust your brain. I said, you know what? I'm not doing this to despise you because I have also not seen 100% in a very long while. So you see what? God is God. Let's all fall on God's word and let's believe the word of God. That one fatality, she just started speaking. After that fatality, she just started speaking. She said, I don't know. All this, what if it's not God? What if it's my mind? What I just said, no, let's just get out of that case and you start speaking. Let me also start because the word of God is true. Do you believe there's God? Say yes. I also believe there's God. Let's start speaking. Put away all of those things that you are saying that you are not really, you don't know if it's fake tongues. Even your mind cry is not 100% original. If it was original, you get 100%. All your marks, you score all of them.
So all your questions, let me tell you something. You who is listening to me, I know there's maybe there's someone here, like, listen to what I'm telling you. Don't trust your natural reasoning mind. Are you listening? It's limited. Even your chemistry, right? You've not scored all. You see?
Let's trust God's word. Let's believe God's word. Let's hold on to God's word. Let's not trust in our natural minds. Let's not trust in our brains. Right? Yes. Let's not try to, you know, sort of like question. Yeah, they are reasonable questions, but I'm saying that there are some questions that, you know very well that this question is not too reasonable. Yes. And she started speaking immediately. Because Aja, if we've known how we use our minds, we shouldn't argue with God that much. So God is helping you to deal with unbelief. When you read the word of God, believe what you read. Believe what you read. Believe what you read. Provided somebody can show it to you, explain it to you, connect it to you, believe it. When God says you are healed, believe that you are healed. When God says he can do a miracle, believe that he can do it. When God says he will take care of you, believe that he will take care of you. When God says he will watch over you, believe that he will watch over you. Believe God for everything that he said to you. And walk in the faith of what you believe. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for everything that you're doing in our midst. Thank you for clarity. We believe you. We believe your word. We'll hold on to it. Whenever you act on it and it seems like it's not working, it means there's something you still don't know. So we're going to, via study, via prayer, search what the word of God says and how we should put it to work, and we will put it to work. And the word of God is trustable and it will not fail. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are we going to believe God? Believe that God, that he will take care of us. Believe God that God will meet our needs. Believe God that our bodies are going to be preserved. Walk in the faith of it. Believe that as we do the ministry, we are going to be, you know, soul winners. We're going to reach other people. We're going to touch lives. Believe that all things are working together for our good, even though we don't understand. It looks like it's difficult to understand. Yes, we're going to put our trust and our faith in God.